And welcome back to the Tennessee Star Report. 6:17 a.m. We are delighted to have in studio our very good friend for many years, J.C. Bowman, the president of Professional Educators of Tennessee. J.C., I'm still trying to figure out what is actually in this bill, Tennessee Investment for Student Achievement, TISA. And I've been looking and looking and looking, and, well, I know there's going to be a lot more money spent on education, but what are the details? I mean, the governor has had an opportunity since early January to lay out the details. They are still unknown. What are the details of this bill?
Well, a couple things. Number one, we had these committee meetings that were supposedly held, and we were supposed to come up with ideas and talk about it. And they didn't have a plan supposedly developed, which we think that they did. But neither here nor there, when the plan rolls out, it included all the components of the previous plan, the BEP. We moved those over,
okay,
all 47
now,
segments.
Now, eyes are glazing over.
Right.
I think, let me translate. BEP equals what? Is it Basic Education Program?
Right. That's how you fund it. That's how you currently are funding public education.
Okay, now, the BEP... When you say how you're currently funding education, that means the state has a big pile of money, and it's got to decide how much to give to Maury County and how much to give to Davidson County, right?
Yes.
And the BEP, they sit down, they have a formula, and they say, based on this formula, we're going to give X per student to Maury County. Or how does it work?
Well, and then it also has an equalization piece to it. So it's on your ability to pay. So, for example, if you're in a rural community, you cannot pay as much. Or if you're in a certain areas, you can't pay as much. So this equalization formula, which is very complex, and when everybody talks about BEP being complex, that's the part that nobody understands.
So to make you, in this listening audience, perhaps, let's say Marshall County is even more rural than Maury County. Right. And it's a smaller county. And so, and then you have Davidson County, an urban county, lots of income. And then you have Williamson County, perhaps the most wealthy county in the, well, it is the most wealthiest county. Okay, so we might even compare those three counties. If we were to sit down and I were to say to you, okay, how much money are you given per student in Marshall County under the BEP? How much are you giving to Williamson County under the BEP, and how much are you giving to Davidson County from the state, and would you be able to explain that process to me?
Not really, but, <here's, laughs> but in general, here's how it would work. So, for example, if you pay $100 in Williamson County, you might get you might get $48 back. So you're going to lose money.
So when you say you pay $100 in Williamson County.
In taxes. So state money and all that comes in, you may get a lower percentage.
Okay. So the state currently gives the more affluent counties less money per student.
Because you have more ability to pay.
Now, in some cases, more ability to pay.
Because you are wealthier. You've got that money.
Yeah. We got the money in Williamson County, the higher per capita income. Now, let's say lower per capita income in Marshall County, they would get more money back.
Yeah, they may put in, say, for the $100, they may get $120 back, or $130.
That makes some sense. Now, in Davidson County, what's it like? $100?
And Davidson County has been, and that's the other interesting thing. So when they calculate this out, they're going, well, you know, everybody knows with the new system that passes, we know without a doubt 28 districts. In 3 years, the whole harmless thing that they put on. So basically, if TISA is such a great idea, let's go ahead and implement it next year. If it's a great idea, let's implement it next year. But we're going to do a hold harmless. Now, think about this.
Okay, now I'm glazing over.
Yeah, you're glazed, right?
Hold harmless. What does that mean?
That means that you're not going to lose any money. Everything's the same. It's going to be the thing. We're just going to put in another $1.1 billion.
You mean?
Yeah, but then we're going to add $1.1 billion for these things called weights. So weights come along.
Hold on. Okay. So is it the case that it's going to be, you're not going to get as a county school district, right? Under this new program, you're not going to get less than you got last time, but then we're going to put another $1.1 billion in, and then we're going to figure out how to give that in some kind of equalized way to the various counties. Is that, am I moving in the right direction?
Well, we're just going to add it to it. We're going to give more, if more kids take career and technical education courses, we're going to give them $5,000. So if a kid, now think this, if you're
is that in the bill?
Yeah. So, but here's where it sounds good. Now, in truth, we all know this, and it's the unspoken truth. We talk about college and career readiness. We've all focused on college, but not every kid's going to go to college. So the governor's right about saying we need to spend money.
Let me ask you this. Why should a kid go to college and learn to hate America when they could go to technical school and learn how to handle HVAC and plumbing and be a welder and a carpenter and make lots of money?
Well, I mean, your career and technical, but, you know, not all colleges are there. There's some good colleges out here.
I would be shocked to find any college in the state of Tennessee where a kid comes in and when they get out, they love America more than when they went in.
Well, you know, that's
your lane, huh?
No, not my lane. We take K-12. We're K-12. But hey, the governor will come back and argue that's why we're trying to put more civics education and we're doing this. And so the governor is attempting to try to address some of that. But back to this, we create these weights. So you create a weight for poverty. We're going to create a weight for dyslexia. And I've been a champion for dyslexia. I think dyslexic kids have been left out.
So if you got more dyslexic kids,
you're going to get more money.
You're going to get more money.
If you more kids go to career and technical, we're going to give them more money. Well, here's the problem.
You get to the issue of fairness and equity here, don't you?
Well, that's what they're going to say, where it's all equitable. It's all, you know, the problem is for me to be equitable, I've got to take money from you to give money to me. So equity is always.
Well, you probably think that's equitable, but I'm thinking, what happened to my money?
And, well, so back to this. If we give more money based on poverty, first off, I sit on a committee with some very smart people, very good people, very capable. I'm not going to name their names, but all the leaders of things. We couldn't even come up with a definition for poverty, Michael. I mean, we sit here and argued over, you know, what are we going to do, the free reduced lunch? Are we going to use the federal poverty guidelines? We're going to create a third category. What are we doing? We're talking about it. I don't think we can even define what poverty is. But that aside, are we going to spend more money? All of a sudden, if you have a poor kid in class and more money comes to that child, the money follows the child, does that money translate into better education? Is that kid going to get more books? Is that kid going to get more? What's he going to get more of?
So when you say the money follows the child, it means that, let's take it as an example. Let's say in Marshall County, there is a dyslexic kid who wants to go to trade school. Okay. Learn a trade. So you're saying they're going to get X for the kid, another couple thousand because they're dyslexic, and another 5,000 because they want to go to career.
And if you can if he's poor, you're going to get even more money.
Okay, so those three things, but the money doesn't go to the kid. The money goes to the school system. Is that right?
The money follows the child. The district's going to follow it down. And here's where
Hold on. This is the phrasing.
Yes. It's a show
game.
The money
follows the child. Well, the money follows where the child goes in that county. Is that correct?
Or where he goes to school. Absolutely.
But if that kid is in a public school in Marshall County?
It could be, and that's the big
debate.
What
if that kid wants to go to Maury County Public Schools?
Well, that's going to be up to Maury County people to say whether they do. Because here's the thing. They're having to build the public schools.
One minute.
In Maury County to accommodate
but
the kids
say,
from Marshall
let's
County.
Let's say our dyslexic trade school going poor kid from Marshall County. You put all that together and there's like, instead of $10,000 following the kid, it's $20,000.
Or 25. Yeah.
Oh, say 25. Okay. So that kid says, hey, I don't want to go to Marshall County schools. I want to go to Maury County schools. Does the $25,000 go from the state to Marshall to Maury County? Does it go from the state to Marshall County?
It'll go to Maury.
Really?
It will.
That's in this deal.
This is how they're going to do it.
So aren't kids going to like What about if a kid wanted to live in, if they lived in Memphis and wanted to go to school in Nashville?
They'd have to get there. It'd have to be transportation.
They'd have to get, but they would follow them.
The money would follow the kid.
This is interesting. we'll talk about where it stands now in the legislative process with J.C. Bowman, the president of Professional Educators of Tennessee.